What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/newbook and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy Morgan. So today's episode's been sobering for me, Russ.
Yeah.
You know, I had a client that canceled his whole life policy and was so ashamed, did not even tell me, just called the insurance company directly himself and said, send me the paperwork. I need to cancel this thing.
So how'd that make you feel?
Man, I mean, that's kind of heavy. It's kind of like, well, why wouldn't he just call me and tell me, you know, that if it's not going to work, it's not going to work. I understand that.
But the reality is that when we fail at something in life, whatever that is, it's natural for us to want to hide it.
Have shame.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, when I was listening to some of his story, I thought back to my life years ago, and I was thinking through moments where I should have made some of the decisions that he made, but didn't.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Well, he talked about selling a house that he had home equity in, but really the payments of everything else were overwhelming. And I remember having that thought, like, man, I really should get rid of this house that we're in and downsize, because everything we've got going, our lifestyle has crept to a point. And by the way, it didn't sneak up on me. I mean, we were doing it, right? We were active participants. Like, this wasn't, bills don't just come find you. You find them.
Right.
And I just remember a moment, and it's 10, 11 years ago, whatever it was, where I thought, man, I don't know how we're going to make the payments. I don't know how we're going to do all this. We have created a prison for ourselves. And I just listening to his Jonathan's story today, it just made me go, man, he made some tough decisions in this. And one of them was canceling what he goes back and says, man, that was a really stupid decision that I made. I really wish I wouldn't have, because now I lost that time,
right,
the growth of that life insurance policy. But there was some things that he came to grips with. So I'm really glad he did.
Yeah. So we're talking about Jonathan Sanders here. Our client and friend who's able to join us today on the podcast, sharing his personal journey of understanding infinite banking, canceling a policy, and then coming back and realizing, man, this was the right thing. So we're calling what he calls himself the prodigal son of infinite banking, and how he just walks through the emotions behind that, the doubts that he had along the way. And ultimately, my biggest takeaway was he said, man, the product was never meant to be the savior.
Right.
There was more behind the story. And I think we all can relate to some of the things he shared.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, just today, right? Or yesterday, technically, I'm doing my budget. And it's something I haven't done in the last, I don't know, 3 to 6 months. Shame on me. And guess what, Joey? The numbers have gone up.
Like the numbers of how much bananas cost, or what do you mean?
No, how bananas my budget is, or lack of their budget. And so it just goes back to that, you know, we have our, I'm going to use this analogy, and you can probably relate to this since you've had to change pants several times over the last 5 years, is that we have pants, right? And we when we get in those pants and we put them on, we zip them up, some of them fit really well. Some of them are extremely tight. And you're like, stink. This is not good. I need to change something in my diet. Some people just go buy a new pair of pants, but I'm too cheap to go buy a new pair of pants. I keep wearing the same one. So what do? I change. I make some adjustments. And then, week by week, I get in those pants. And finally, they feel better again. I'm like, yes, I've done it. Well, if we had that in our financial lives as it related to our budget, if we had to get into the same pair of pants and we had to zip them up, we had to squeeze into them, we had to go, regardless of what it is, we could just go get another pair of pants, it would make us make some adjustments, good adjustments in our life. And now, by the way, I do like a new pair of pants and I do buy new pairs of pants, but I don't ever want to go up in the size. So this is not about scarcity. It's still abundance, but it's figuring out a way for us to live comfortably in within our means. And I love different parts of this podcast. Let's dive into this interview with Jonathan Sanders.
Dad, do you have to go to work today? If you're tired of having to answer yes to that question and you're ready to stop trading time for money, join Russ and I on this journey to financial freedom at community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
This is the place where you can take control. You can pick your own path and get there faster. Go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
Welcome into the show. We have Jonathan Sanders, also known as the Prodigal Son, in the studio live. Jonathan, thank you for being here, brother.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Well, Joey, you said prodigal son, and I think that's a really good start for this podcast.
It's for a reason.
That's right. And the story from the Bible, the prodigal son, is someone who wanted all their inheritance first, and then they went and spent it out. They spent all the money, got to a point where they realized, wait a second.
I'm hanging out with some pigs at one point.
I was not where I wanted to be, and came back and was welcomed back in. And the best robes, the best rings, the best feast was provided for that son. And so in order for us to know why that part, we got to go back to the very beginning of this. So there was a time where you were preparing to make a phone call to tell the person on the other end of the line why you wanted to quit and cancel your whole life policy. So take me to that moment.
Yeah, so we had just gotten back from a trip to Disney World, and I had used the cash value in my whole life policy to fund that trip. Well, when I got back, I realized things were a little tight. I couldn't afford the loan payments and the policy payments in my regular day-to-day life. And so I said, you know what? Something's got to give. And this insurance stuff is just, I don't know what I was thinking. So I called up the company where the policy was issued out of and told them that I needed to cancel and close out whatever remaining balance I had.
So what was going through your mind at that point, though? That's the physical, just mechanical. Okay, I don't have the money. I got to call them and cancel it. But what else?
I was a little embarrassed. You know, I didn't want you to know, Joey, that I was.
Which I didn't. I did not know, by the way.
Yeah. And so, you know, I felt like a quitter. I felt like I had failed at this process, at this culture, this way of, you know, financially investing and or saving, I should say. And so it was a tough phone call to make.
So when is this? Give me some time frame.
Gosh, I guess this was, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago.
So like 2014? Yeah. 2015, somewhere in there?
14, 15, something like that.
Yeah. All right.
And I had only had the policy 6 or 7 months. It was very brief.
So you're really early into this process.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's back up just a little bit. So I want to take me back to the moment where you were actually buying it, and what were some of those things and reasons that you decided that you wanted to do it?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think this is a good part of the story that I need to share is how I got involved in this process in the very beginning. And that's Joey actually ran into a coffee shop that I was in. He was supposed to be meeting someone.
Yeah.
Had an appointment, and that appointment did not show for whatever reason.
Shocker.
And so I'm sitting there, and Joey and I have been friends in the, you know, for a long time. And he had this book by Nelson Nash. And he said, "Hey, you know, Jonathan, why don't you go ahead and why don't you take this book and take a look at it and see what you think and let's talk."
Okay.
So I read through it. You know, I'm a lifelong learner. I believe we can never learn enough, be smart enough. I think we need to be learning until we die. And so I was very interested in this concept because all I'd ever heard was that whole life was a racket and a gimmick and that all, you know, it's just for the insurance agents to make money.
Yeah.
And so I read the book. It was very, very intriguing and compelling. And so I think I called Joey or he followed up with me and we met and he started going over the numbers and the math with me. And everything sounded terrific. You know, it sounded just like what I wanted it to be. And that was this financial savior.
Right.
And that was the problem in the whole model, is that I was expecting this to save me from the financial problems that I was in, overspending, not sticking to a budget, extreme credit card debt. And I was hoping this could save me from all of that.
Yeah. Well, because when you read through Becoming Your Own Banker, it talks about where Nelson Nash actually, he was at a moment in life. He talks about this just series of events, one of which was he had put himself in serious debt because he was buying real estate and was buying it on 90-day terms. And when interest rates peaked and he owed $500,000 at 23.5% interest. He was like, "What am I going to do? How am I going to make these payments?" Right.
Yeah.
And so I could see that where, man, what if I had this tool? This tool gets me out. I mean, it worked for Nelson Nash in this book. Huh?
That's right. That's right. And I thought, if I just shift my money over here and start doing this, then I can use loans from it to do all this other stuff. Yeah. But the problem was I wasn't changing my lifestyle. And the lifestyle that had gotten me into trouble in the first place.
So we're back at Disney.
Yep.
We're having a magical day, right? And those days are magical for Disney because they are expensive days.
But it was, you know, I had this false sense of security because everything was paid for.
You had the money.
I had the money.
Right.
And so then I come home to reality.
Well, and I think that that's a good point. I want to bring this out because sometimes we talk about this, but it gets overlooked that, yes, our cash values that we build up in these life insurance policies are a tool for us to use for investing, for lifestyle, and for paying off debts. But it's not just a license to spend.
That's right.
Because if we spend all the dollars and we don't have dollars to put back in it, then it's no different than any other account that we own. We're going to look at the end of the day, it's going to be nothing in it.
That's right.
Right. So it doesn't, because the cash values are growing, they are. But if you have a loan outstanding, it grows as well if you're not replenishing that in some shape or form. So you're now at a point where a lot of us have been in the fact that we get to the end of the month and we have no cash, but we still got months left. And you say, man, I've got to pay this premium because I'm assuming you're paying it monthly.
That's right.
You're paying it monthly. So you're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do that? The mortgage, the car payment, the grocery bill, the kids' school, everything else is piling on top of you. And that's pressurized.
Yes.
And so you immediately called Joey and said, "Joey, I need you to help me figure this out."
No.
What?
I did not.
Okay. Talk me through that.
Well, there was a little, you know, wrong or right, there's a little embarrassment that you still can't manage things correctly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't want to, you know, deal with it. I just thought this is a mistake I've made and I need to correct it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I went ahead and just called up the company directly
and said, "I'm out."
Yeah. And they're like, "We'll send you your $25 remaining check, you know, to this address."
But the reality is, you just were glad that you didn't have to make the monthly.
That's right.
Because you were seeing it as an expense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nothing but an expense.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, good.
Okay, that is so common. We talk about that on this show a good bit, is that the premium, we've been trained to think of it as an expense, haven't we?
Yeah.
I mean, when you go to the gas pump and you're going to put gas in your car, what's the most expensive gas you could put in your car?
high-octane.
Premium gas, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What about something that is better than average at any, you know, store or whatever? It's the premium version. It's the premium. So people are saying, hey, put your premium in. It's immediately got this connotation that this is expensive, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sharing that to say there's people that will think about this exact same way because that's what we've been trained to think. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So walk us through from that point. One, I didn't even know that you had done that. So, and then later on, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. So Jonathan doesn't have his policy anymore. Okay. And to be honest, I was like, well, it might not have been a great fit for him. Maybe something changed from where we first started to he's gone a different way. I'm not going to be like just chasing people down.
Sure.
So walk us through from that point.
What happened next?
Yeah. What happened after that?
So I really was the podcast. When you guys started podcasting, I said, hey, I know these guys. You know, I mean, I've known you for a little while from church. And I started listening. And it was an education session all over again, right? I started learning. I started seeing the value of this this lifestyle. And I said, I want to do this. I was wrong to get rid of it in the first place. I was kicking myself because that was time that I lost when I could have been accumulating wealth. Right, or accumulating value. And so I was kicking myself for that. And I said, as soon as I can scrape together some money, I'm going to do this. Because I was still digging myself out, right? We're still trying to get out of debt. We've adjusted our lifestyle finally, but it was a deep hole.
Well, let's before we get to this next part, I want to go back to that because there's so many lessons for somebody to learn from your experience, right? We all have experiences and either we can borrow those from someone else who's already gone through them, or we can pay retail and go through them ourselves. So there's someone who maybe is in this same experience right now and wants to know, how do you get out? So what is it that clicked for you in your life, for you and your wife to say, we've got to change our life? Because the podcast didn't do it.
Sure.
It was something you internally did. What was it?
Well, and to be honest with you, we did get on a budget. We did, start spending less. We did a better job. I mean, I've got three kids, so there's five people total in my house. It's an expensive house to run.
Yeah.
I ended up getting an older car, so I don't have a car note. We did the various things that you kind of know to do, right? But to be honest with you, there's no way we would have been able to get out of that hole had we not sold our house. And so because of that, because the credit card payments alone were still eating me alive.
So you had too big of a house in the payment.
Yeah.
Man, that is a moment. I will tell you, I don't know how many years ago it was, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, Megan and I had bought the house of her dreams at the time. And I was still new in our business. Mm. She was brand new as a dentist and has opened her own office. And was making no money. Actually, it was costing us money for her to go to work. And there was a moment that I was like, the only answer is to sell this house. But man, I mean, just the thought of selling it just overwhelmed me.
Because it was her dream house, right?
Yeah. I mean, just take us through that. I mean, that is really difficult to come to that conclusion. How did you guys decide that's what we're going to do?
Well, you know, again, honesty here and not sugarcoating anything. My wife never really liked the house. And so
this makes it a little easier.
That was an easy sell for her.
Okay, good.
The market was really good. And we thought, let's try it.
Okay.
Let's see. And so what we didn't appreciate was the amount of time and money it takes to get a house ready to sell.
The prep time.
You know, you got to fix this, you got to fix that. So, you know, that was challenging to have that expense. But it wasn't a hard idea to sell.
Okay.
You know, that was an easy thing for us. If we could make this money and just finally, you know, that was our savings.
So you downsized. You downgraded pretty, how much? Like what percentage?
Gosh, I don't like a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was a lateral move.
Okay.
But the key to this story here is that we took advantage of the market there and took out the appreciation and the equity in it. All the equity that we've been putting in from that too high of a mortgage payment, we were able to take that equity out and then the appreciation.
Okay, so you had home equity. Mm-hmm. And you use that home equity to help get you out of higher interest rate credit card debt. We actually just did a show just a couple of a month or so ago now that was unlocking your home equity and unlocking your mind. Yeah. And our guest talked about having tons of home equity and it was preventing from doing so. In this situation, you said, here's our way out is that we need, my wife doesn't like this house, but here's the cash we need to get rid of the stuff. So you got rid of that. But some people have done that in the past. By the way, that was what led to the mortgage crisis in 2007, is that people kept refinancing their lifestyle debt into their rising home equity. And
it finally caught up.
Finally, home equity rates quit going up at a certain level. It wasn't that prices had to go down. They actually, if you ever read the book, The Big Short, it talked about they knew that it was going to crash because if the market didn't keep going up at 7% or better, it would catch up to all the refinances and they wouldn't be able to refinance out the debt. And then all the payments would come. Yeah, it would come piling down on them. So you had figured out a way to do that, but you then did a budget.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, we had started that and we were we were keeping our head above water. Things were okay. But I wanted to do this. I wanted to get back into this process and lifestyle of doing infinite banking because I believed in it that much.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, though. You're surrounded, you're in the tech space.
Yes.
Right? And you're surrounded by people that are just cheering you on about this infinite banking thing, right? Yeah. Like the whole time. They're like, man, Jonathan, this is such a great idea, right?
No.
Okay. So what do those conversations look like?
You know, to be honest with you, and I told you this before, Joey, sometimes it's difficult to admit to people that you're doing infinite banking because you just don't want to have that conversation.
You're like keeping it in the closet.
I am until I feel them out, right? And say, you know, they might be open. Yeah, let's get weird. But yeah, so all of my colleagues and everybody is talking about maxing out 401k, you know, all these other, you know, index funds and Wall Street and everything like that. And, you know, I would try to float this idea past some of them and they're like, oh man, the whole life's a gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, I know what certain financial advisors, very popular financial people out there in the world say.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was not well received or endorsed.
Did any part of that play into when you canceled the first time?
Yeah, I think definitely in the back of my mind, because you look at, you know, I'm not saying I live my life by what other people think, but you try to take counsel from other people.
Yeah.
And if the majority of people out there, or what it feels like a majority in my world.
Oh, no, it's a majority.
Is saying, yeah, you're right. What are you doing? This is a bad idea. Look how you're just losing money or whatever. And so, yeah, absolutely. That played in the back of my mind.
Well, but this is such a common story, Jonathan, that, okay, I'm overspending. I'm not keeping a budget. And by the way, overspending doesn't mean that we're exceeding, our expenses are exceeding our income. That doesn't mean what overspending is. When we don't have a budget, meaning that we don't understand what we're spending, we're all overspending. I challenge anybody who doesn't have a budget to, you are overspending.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that, I mean, I know people that don't have a budget and they make hundreds of millions of dollars, millions of dollars, whatever the number is. And they don't know.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, and every time someone that I've talked to has actually run their budget for the month, just to say, I just want to know what I'm spending. And I go, and they put down what they think they should spend. And then they verify it against what they did.
Yep.
That number is always higher.
Yeah.
It's always higher because you're like, well, wow, I didn't realize we spent $2,500 at the grocery store.
And here's the thing we need to talk about too, is how our lifestyle changes with our pay increases, with our salary increase. I was making X when my wife and I got married. Okay. And then.
And you were making it. You were making fine, right?
Yes, like life was good. And, you know, I had two cars, you know, we didn't have the kids yet. But, you know, so then fast forward 10 years, I'm making at least three times that. Okay. Three times that. And you look at the numbers, it's like, how are we not having enough when, and you know, you feel like such a chump because you're,
yeah.
You know, and so.
Well, I figured out though, you have to get rid of the kids. You just say, hey guys, it's not working out.
Yeah.
At least two of you have to go. You guys decide between yourself.
It's not personal. It's business, right?
Well, we'd be going to get, you know, eat out and, you know, they're clearly over the age of kid meals.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, they need. they can have a kid meal. So we're going to save a little money.
But it happens so fast. We know that when we are not tracking that stuff. And again, our show, as you know, is about abundance. It's about how can we, not, you know, I can't.
Right.
And but a budget is one of those just simple foundational tools. And it doesn't mean that we have to find ways to eat less, to do less. But it's about keeping track, because when you keep track, we had a very popular guest on our show a year or so ago, Mike Michalowicz. He wrote a book called Profit First. And his whole concept is getting business owners to consume less by keeping track of their money, by showing them, by putting their accounts set up. He has this whole 5-account system, and you start divvying out the money. Then you start to see, oh, well, wait a second. I don't have as much money to spend in this account, so you get creative. Now, you can only cut so much.
It forces
much.
You to.
Yeah, you can only cut so much before you get into muscle. So really, the reality is that we start finding efficiencies in our life. We start finding ways to do things better. I think, to me, that's where infinite banking starts to draw in, because you talked about the friends in the tech industry that you knew who were doing the 401ks, right?
Right.
How would a 401k ever help you get out of the debt that you were in?
I'd have to withdraw it and then take a penalty, or
how would it have helped you quit overspending?
It wouldn't.
Okay. We know that the typical financial tool used by everybody else is not helping us, right? So that the whole life policy wasn't the problem. The 401k wasn't the problem. It was the fact that we didn't understand our budget.
That's right.
And you got clear with that. And then things started changing. So now you're listening to the podcast. You're like, man, I know these guys.
Yeah.
I know them.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm like, man, they're famous. They've got a podcast and everything, you know. But no, so I was listening, and I still believed in it. I reread, you know, Becoming Your Own Banker, you know, and became familiarized with the concepts again, and came in, met with Joey, and said, I want to do this. What does this look like? And, you know, that was really it. You know?
So tell me about that second time going through the process.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of people that are just going through it for the first time.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't even started the first time. You've had the chance to go through it twice.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you've seen things, and some of which you've shared already, but I'm assuming you've seen things a little differently going through it a second time.
Yeah.
Can you speak to some of those?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I just didn't understand how to take advantage of, the policy once you had it. I didn't understand how. It's a savings. It's a place for putting cash and savings to use in other ways. You know, I viewed it strictly as, you know, a savior and investment vehicle, and that's not the case. You know, I was confused by the numbers. Maybe I'm just a slow learner, but it felt very confusing and intimidating to me. And until, you know, I continued to meet with Joey, and he broke it down to these little chunk sized bites and explained it to my little brain, you know, but I thought, if Joey can do it, I mean, surely.
I mean, there's hope. There's hope.
Well, at that point, too, we didn't even have IBC 101, which now in the community, you can go get IBC 101, where we break down the basic processes. We didn't have that whenever you were going through this process.
Exactly. And, you know, this is no fault of Joey's, but, you know, a little more education for me and how to properly use this tool, you know, because this is just a tool, right? It's a product, right? But it's not a process. I had to adjust the budget, the spending, and you're in this for the long haul too. This is not a short, quick fix kind of.
It's a life game.
You know, I call it a culture or a lifestyle.
Yes,
that is such a great way to explain it, and I think that's why some people don't move forward, because they say, "Man, it sounds good, but I'm just not willing to change my lifestyle."
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to, then it's not going to work. It's just going to be another product that you just put on the shelf.
Well, let's talk about the lifestyle, though, because that could be a little bit scary, because as a business owner, entrepreneur, somebody with three kids, I mean, we got a lot going on. Adding another block into the day seems really scary. That's like
heavy.
I mean, as much as I would like to learn how to be a NASA engineer, right? I'd love to go to space. That'd be really cool. Not really, but I mean, like, I'd like to say I'm an astronaut. That'd be pretty awesome, right?
I'll get you like a shirt from Huntsville.
Okay, that changes the game at a cocktail party.
Yeah,
but the time to do something like that, you just don't have time to do it. So tell us, when you say lifestyle, what does that mean for you? How does infinite banking as a lifestyle, what does that look like on a daily, weekly, monthly basis?
Yeah. Well, and so on one hand, it's not a huge impact, right? Okay. It's not heavy lifting. It's not a lot of work. It's a mind shift in that thinking about, you know, my oldest daughter is 11. And so she's going to want some sort of vehicle, you know, in a few years when she starts driving. So it's thinking about, hey, I'm going to be able to use this policy to help fund that, right? So you're not really doing anything different other than you're putting savings somewhere else.
Right.
And you still have access to it while it's still growing.
Yeah.
And so it's not like it's a heavy mental burden on me every day or month. The biggest mental burden is keeping my wife and I in check on the budget, which has nothing to do with infinite banking, right? It's our budget.
That's going to be there regardless.
Absolutely.
Exactly. The difference that I have seen in the lifestyle and my, and just speaking to Megan and I, is that it's where I don't hold that cash savings for the next Disney trip or for that big expense. Yeah. Maybe it is the car that's coming up. Mine's 14, right?
Yeah.
Ever getting closer to 16. And just holding that money, which a lot of us do, we just set up these little side accounts, savings accounts or whatever, and we start piling that money away, where I've said, no, look, we're going to take all those dollars every single month and we're going to shove them into our life insurance policies. And then when those expenditures come up, then I'm going to take loans against that for that specific expense. I'm going to keep shoving money over there instead of like hoarding little pockets of That's money right. away, which really doesn't benefit me in any way. It's great that I'm saving it, and I'm okay with people who keep their spreadsheets and they want to know, well, you know, this amount of money in my policy is for this expense. That's fine. That's a good idea to have, but don't do it in a checking account, right? So that's the lifestyle change I've had. Have you seen some of that?
Yeah, definitely. And that's, we are doing that, right? So when I get my paycheck, you know, I dump all of it into another checking account that's for, you know, the infinite banking payments and loans and whatnot. And then we use that for other major expenses. And so, definitely. And the thing, you know, you got to remember is that this is, you know, time is going by. And that's why I get so frustrated, is that now that I'm 40 and I could have been doing this years ago, you know, I've lost that time. So now I have this fever. I just want to keep trying to put as much back in there. But I can't wait to do my next policy with you guys, right?
Yeah.
And so, because I see the value in that and believe in it.
Well, this has been an awesome just explanation or story journey of, like, again, I think there's so many things that people can relate to, because, you know, Russ and I, we're sitting in here and we're the guys that do this every day. It's easy for us to kind of, to just not think about all those things, but this is real life.
Yeah.
This is, you're surrounded by people that don't agree, so you have to go upstream. I mean, we think about, that's what you're facing every day. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you've got the mental challenges, like you said, of keeping your family in check, keeping the finances going. And so I'm grateful that you're willing to open up and share this, and we're laughing about you being the prodigal son, but we had to have a good title for it.
Yeah.
I mean, so,
well, you know, this is, but also I want to ask one last question. And should have asked this ahead of time, but how is listening to the podcast on a regular basis and being a part of a community and people who are doing this, how is that an encouragement to you?
Oh man, that's, you know, that's a huge part of it, because it helps me think about ways that maybe I hadn't thought of and how to use what I'm, you know, building over here.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's flipping land or in real estate or, you know, franchises or whatever. You know, it helps you be creative and think outside the box.
Yeah.
Because the number one thing you guys say is the last thing you want us to do, right, is to put all this money in there and then not do anything with it.
Right.
Right. So, you know, and it's just getting you to think outside the box in ways that normally you don't think of. Right.
And I think just the more we surround ourselves with people who are challenging the status quo, who are doing what we're doing as far as this, right? So we start seeing ourselves not in the minority of people. We start seeing ourselves in the majority of people. Now, our group is smaller than the at large, but at the same time, when we're in community with people who are thinking differently, it challenges to be better. So thank you for listening to this podcast, Jonathan. Thank you for coming on and share. I mean, you really kind of open up. You kind of, you took off the cloak before you put it back on. Sure. So I appreciate that. And Joey, I mean, this is a first, man. You actually had a client leave and they came back. I mean, this is something that you have that I don't have, which is a first.
Well, and to be honest, that was my first text that I sent Joey, right? I said, Joey, the prodigal son wants to come home.
Okay, I was hoping that wasn't my wording. It was yours. Okay, so yeah, that's good.
No, you're
okay.
Right. Okay.
That's awesome. Well, it's better if you call yourself that than if I do, right? So
I want people to learn from my mistakes, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, that's a huge encouragement. I'm going to ask one more quick question.
Okay.
I'm about to let you off.
Okay.
But I want to know, if other people are surrounded by people that they're working with or otherwise, has there been anything that you've had success with in terms of communicating to those people? I understand you're not going to let it out on Front Street right out of the gate.
Yeah.
But has there been some conversation that you thought, man, this went really well? Because I think that's a common question people have is, how did you encourage people around you that maybe didn't think the way you do?
I've not had very many successes. I am not in sales of this, though, so that may be why. But, you know, in all honesty, I've tried to talk to them about, look, just read this book or go to this website or listen to this podcast. I mean, I've shared this podcast with a lot of people and some of your other ones where you dive through each chapter of the book, right? Mm-hmm. And then you break down some things in videos. So I've tried to direct people to that. But I think that the media and some of the other culture and stuff is so strongly ingrained in some of us. This is not the right thing to do, that we just, I don't know, we're afraid to check it out on our own, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But I've not had very many successes telling people about how great it is, you know?
Well, maybe people listen to this podcast now. You can just say, hey, this is my personal podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
So, yeah. Well, with Jonathan, man, we really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing. And if you're listening to this and you've dealt with some of these same concerns and you want to know how to share what Infinite Banking is with the people around you, let them know that they can come to the community, that there is a course inside of the community that's titled IBC 101. It has Joey and I breaking down some of the simplest steps, all the way from when you are thinking about this, how it is as a process, all the way through how do you set up an insurance policy and then to implementing it. And I just think that this is a really great tool to help educate yourself on some of the basics. Maybe it's to reaffirm some of the things that you thought were true on the front end, but you've started to question. But also it's a way to share with other people, hey, man, this is a podcast. This is a concept that you need to be doing as well. So Jonathan, man, it was amazing having you in here. Thank you for always listening as well. And we look forward to having you on the next episode.
If you've been listening to our podcast, you're like, man, I love what you guys are talking about. I want to build passive income through one of these five pillars that you're talking about. But how do I do it? Stallion, tell them. It is so easy.
So easy that we created the longest URL possible. So you may want to write this down. freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Go to freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com and you can set up your call with one of us. We're excited to talk to you.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.